Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of Constitutional Millennials, Next Generation. Tonight, it's going to be hosted by myself, Patrick Miller, of course. But first of all, we are going to have a small intermission of music, and we'll be back in 4 minutes and 23 seconds. I'll talk to you guys after that.
Hey, brother, there's an endless road to rediscover. Hey, sister, know the water's sweet, but blood is thicker.
Come on. Hey, everyone. We're back, and like I said, welcome to Constitutional Millennials, the next generation. Tonight's first ever episode will be about dress code. Everyone hates dress codes, right? And this episode is basically about dress codes, big dress codes that annoy students and parents. One such example would be the one from Ridgewood High, which is my school and a few other students' schools that we all know. In this episode, we're also discussing how the ACLU was involved after several incidents, including this school. And tonight, we will discuss those incidents. I also have several links pulled up about the ACLU letters and also the Ridgewood dress code. In the heat of July, as his high school community debated the pros and cons of a new stricter dress code, Hunter Benefiski quickly created a Facebook page opposing idea. He was the one who started this dress code protest. And it kind of escalated up until a point where no one paid attention until Tuesday when the dress code went into effect, which was October 18th. This was, of course, last year, but it's been in effect since then. The school told him he could face heavy consequences if he kept encouraging classmates to violate the dress code and advised him to remove the Facebook group and just move on. They could privately discuss the rules if necessary. I disagree, because I think this was a good idea for Hunter to do this, of course, but this is my personal opinion from a millennial perspective. Anyway, like I said, this protest was made with several other students, including myself, who was against this modified dress code, who was actually approved by Mrs. Murphy. As we all know, Mrs. Murphy has recently left the school and replaced by a new principal, but that's besides the issue at hand, which we'll discuss at a later time anyway. During Miss Murphy's staying here at Ridgewood, the dress code that she included was the modified one, which had several restrictions in place, including no logos bigger than a quarter, no athletic or sports shorts, no baggy pants, I believe, and several other things that were very much deemed kind of stupid and ridiculous by both parents and students. Let's see. Benefiski recounted a meeting with Assistant Principal Eric Hermanson, saying the administrator told him that Principal Angie Murphy believed his actions could incite a riot and the consequences could range from out-of-school suspension to arrest, depending on what happens. Which, one of all, there was no such riot. If every student that got involved, they wanted to try, well, not really try, but they wanted to push the buttons of the administrators to see who will get dress coded and who not and who won't. I was one of those kids myself who was dress coded a lot during those times, and a lot of other students were as well. So this is all stuff that the administrators did not like it one bit. So they started dress coding a lot of kids for really unnecessary things. Socks was another thing. For example, a student at Ridgewood, they were dress coded for having Nike socks. Why, you may ask? Because, one, Nike is actually a sponsor for the school, and if they were to get wind of this, the school might actually lose the sponsorship that it was given by them. I mean, I kind of find this really ridiculous, if you ask me. But that's just my opinion on it, and I know a lot of other students and parents would agree with me. So another thing that actually came to my attention was my friend Tyler Powers. We all know him, of course. He was dress coded for having a cancer survivor T-shirt, a one, something cancer survivor, I forget what it was, but he was just coded for it, and with, what? That's not true. Anyway, back to the issue. Tyler was just coded for his cancer survivor t-shirt, and his parents were very upset when they got wind of this, and a lot of other students were pretty upset, too, when they heard of this. I mean, I believe it was the administrator or the teacher that just coded him. I don't remember which, but they gave him the consequence, either change the t-shirt, go home and change, or in-school suspension, where he would be there for the rest of the day for refusing to change his t-shirt. He chose the lighter option, which would be changing into a regular t-shirt from Ridgewood. And at this time, once a lot of parents got wind of this incident, there was a bigger protest starting by other parents as well who wanted to join in the protest. By the way, guys, we're going to be taking a quick break with a 3.5 minute song, and we'll be right back after this.
Far from over, leave the lost and die.
Hey everyone, welcome back after that short break by that song Breaking Benjamin, I Will Not Bow. I hope you all enjoyed it. Anyway, let's get back to the subject at hand. From what I've read a little bit, a Ridgewood High School administrator's threat of arrest for student planning a dress code protest has brought a stern rebuke from the ACLU, which offered in turn a threat of its own. Civil rights lawsuits in federal court are an expensive and often unnecessary means of resolving disputes over whether a school can use its disciplinary powers to silence criticisms of school rules and policies, Jennifer Morley, president of the Greater Tampa Chapter of the ACLU of Florida, wrote in a letter to school and district officials. Meaning that if this school were to enforce a really strict dress code like this, like a really, really strict dress code, then a civil rights lawsuit could, in case, happen, but depending on what would happen, of course, as well. So that's another thing to bring to attention, like how the protest even started, of course, which I already gave a little bit of insight beforehand. Some administrators say it was in start of a riot, which is not true at all, for one. It was all a peaceful protest, and some of the students actually came together and thought of doing a walkout from the school. I was one of those students who actually wanted to try it, but it didn't happen, unfortunately. But it was only an idea of thought, anyway. And if that were to happen, we would have gotten OSS, I believe, if the administrators decided to. Anyway, let's see. We remind the schools that federal law provides for awards of attorney's fees to successful civil rights litigants. Should the school punish Mr. Banaszewski for his off-campus speech, and should he challenge the punishment in court on First Amendment grounds and prevail, this could result in a substantial attorney fee award against the school district. Basically, if he were to bring up the case into civil court, which if they actually tried to arrest him under these kind of circumstances, he could say that this would violate his First Right Amendments. Go grab me. Anyway, like I said, First Amendment is very, very crucial because it applies to everyone, regardless of gender, race, sex, etc. Everyone is equal under any and all circumstances within every single right that we have in the U.S. The ACLU basically encourages First Right Amendments and also freedom of speech as well. Like I also have here, a pocket constitution of myself with the Declaration of Independence, Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights, and Amendments 11 through 26. Amendment 1 basically guarantees freedom of religion, speech, social media, I believe, was another, and two others. First 10 amendments. Oops. My apologies. Oh my lord. I can't do anything right with technology. Anyway, like I said, First Amendment right is guaranteed to everyone, no matter what. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech and or of the press, or the right of people peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. The redress of grievances means that they could petition something that could be changed. For example, Civil Rights Act of 1964. It was basically a law prohibiting segregation that was actually made with many, many people of the NAACP who wanted the same civil rights as regular Americans. You all know what NAACP stands for, right? The National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. So basically, these African Americans wanted the same rights as people. And then once that right was given, they still had many issues, including several other codes in the U.S., even because of their races. There was even many kinds of discrimination. Also, in schools, there was also many racial and religious discrimination as well. For an example, one topic I read on a link earlier on today was a student was actually suspended for wearing a hijab. That's basically religious discrimination, and the administrators say it violates the dress code that they had at that school. I disagree, because this girl, she had a right to express her freedom of religion, even though she may be from somewhere different. The school saw it differently, and they wanted it removed from her. She digressed, so she went on to keep doing it, even though she got multiple warnings and was eventually suspended from school. I think this is wrong, in my opinion, but this is just me, and I know other people will agree. In her letter, Morley suggests that the school is on weak legal footing with its threat to arrest Ridgewood senior Hunter Banasiski for encouraging schoolmates to participate in a peaceful protest against new dress code rules. She posted that the notion he was inciting a riot, as some officials suggested, flew in the face of reason. A lot of the students all did a peaceful protest by going out of dress code during the whole time that it was up. Me being one of those students, Hunter, Tyler, and many other students, of course, in the school I know personally, and some of my own friends and friends of other friends. Everyone was being, there were even some cases where some wore inappropriate attire and they weren't dress code at all. I find this kind of, how should I say this? I kind of find this ridiculous, because I've seen some guys wear dresses and they don't get dress coded. I think this is really ridiculous how people are also being targeted. Like, this is all based on favoritism on a lot of the administrators and teachers. But this is just me, of course. I know several students, including a friend of mine, Thomas. I believe he wore a dress to school, or one of his other friends did at the time. And they were not dress coded. And I'm like, how? That is really a ridiculous thing to think about, if you really think about the situation that came at hand. But that's all up to you, viewers, whoever think about this and what your opinions are on dress codes. Some parents might say that dress codes are a good thing because they incite neatness, orderly fashion, no fights, etc. Other students and parents disagree with this because with uniforms and regular school clothing, there can also still be fights involved, bullying, discrimination, etc. There are a lot of different pros and cons for both sides, but we each consider what we dress each and every single day. I personally dress what I feel comfortable in. I know some of you may not agree with this, which I can understand, but we all have our own differences in opinion. We all understand that. We all have a right to say that. But every pro and con to everything that we have in this dress code can lead to different consequences depending on what action was taken. But this is all up to everyone in the end, to what they decide, what's right and what's wrong. This is all just me, but hey, it's whatever. We'll be having one last break with the song Rascal Flatts, Mayberry. I'll see y'all after that.
Sometimes it feels like this world's spinning faster. than it did in the old days. So naturally we have more natural disasters from the strain of a fast pace. Sunday was a day of rest. Now it's one more day for progress.
Hey everyone, welcome back. This is going to be the last 30 seconds of the show. I know you may not agree on some things, but we all have our differences of opinion, and we all have our own perspectives of the Constitution and the dress codes as well. But that's everyone's own decision and what they perceive it as. I hope you all enjoyed this first episode of Constitutional Millennials, The Next Generation, Episode 1 of Dress Coding. I'll talk to you all, everyone, later. I hope you have a great evening. Good night.